For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing. Amen.
Amen.
For the last several weeks, we've been hearing gospel stories about the impending end times and the need to be prepared for the return of the Master. Last week's parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids challenged us to keep our lamps lit while we wait. And Brandon told us in his sermon that the church's imperative is to remember to be that lamp of hope in the world, especially in times when the light seems dim. Today, Jesus tells a parable that challenges us further. Not only are we to be prepared for the return of Christ, but we are going to be accountable for how we have lived in the in-between. Today's parable is about a wealthy man who goes on a long journey and he entrusts his property to his slaves. He gives them each talents, which in those days was a unit of money equivalent to about 15 years of wages for a laborer. So pretty much a lot of money. He entrusted much to his slaves, but he gave them no direction. So the first takes his talents and he trades them with a mind to increase his earnings. And the second one likewise invests his talents to double his wealth. But the third one buries his one talent to make sure that he's able to return to his master what's been entrusted to him. So glad it worked out for those risk takers, but my money's on the guy who's fiscally conservative and can assure me that I'm not going to lose anything in the deal. And might any of you just be feeling a little nervous that the guy who seems to have done the responsible thing is the one who's called the worthless slave, who's cast into the outer darkness? So if we read this parable simply as a stewardship message, that we're all given talents and we're to use them rather than to bury them, we've lost the deeper message. Perhaps this parable is more about our relationship to God and how we live that out in the world. Do we have this image of God? Do we envision God as this stern, angry taskmaster who's going to dispense harsh justice on us at the end times? Or do we imagine God in terms of grace, as one who empowers us with gifts of joy to share? The third slave lived as if his master was a harsh one, reaping what he did not sow and gathering where he did not scatter seed. Thus, he feared his master's response, and he didn't want to take any risks. He didn't want to lose that one talent. His lack of trust and his fear shaped his actions in the world. Could what happened to him have been brought on by this very attitude, this lack of trust in his master's goodness? Jesus' parable asks us to trust in the abundant grace of God that only grows when we give it away. This applies not only to our money and time and talent, but the hope that has been given to us through Christ. Now, our culture's get what you deserve justice system and our scarcity mentality teaches us to live in fear. We hold a tight grip on what we have rather than risk losing it. We carefully plot out how we're going to spend our time and our talents, as if there might not be enough. We depend upon our own resources rather than that endless wellspring of grace that God offers us over and over again. We forget to rely on God. Jesus wants his followers to remember the exceptional generosity and the love that the Master has entrusted to us. And likewise, we are to live then with an abundant spirit. When we imagine God to be a God of overflowing love, we begin to see love in our lives. And then it makes it so much easier to share with others. We are not only to be that lamp in the world, but the loving, graceful image of God to those who don't know God. In my work as a psychotherapist, I often challenged people to examine the framework through which they interpreted their experiences and consequently shaped their actions. This projection screen that we all carry filters our experiences so that we see just what we expect. If we change the framework, we can change the experience. If we change the experience, we can change the response to that experience. Today, I want you to think about your spiritual framework, to examine just what image you have of God and how that affects your actions in the world. This image shapes our experiences and behavior as Christians. Is it one of a punitive, judging God who in the end days is going to punish us, who inspires fear in us? Or do we mirror a tender and generous God who always gives us more than we expect? Consider for just a moment the change we could make with our loving actions in a scarcity-driven, anxious world. Now, each of us have formed impressions of God based upon our experiences, good and bad. And our investment in relationship may reflect an open heart. It may reflect a scarred heart based on bad experiences. It may reflect simple ambivalence. Now, in my work with couples, I never worried about couples where there was this passionately angry response towards one another, because I could always turn that passion into something loving. When I got really concerned was when there was no energy, no feeling, no passion, no investment. I want you to think about your image of God and what feelings that conjures up for you. No matter how difficult it may seem to reshape images that you have of God based on troubling experiences, the mission of the church is to provide a framework of promise and hope and love. The purpose of community is for us to stand in the gap with each other when you can't see that hope, to pray for each other, to ever widen the circle of inclusion. When joy overflows in us, it may just be lending resources to one who can't feel that joy. We are to demonstrate that God's abundant love multiplies, not divides, when we give it away. Now, I would be remiss not to point out the wonderful coincidence that this scripture falls on the Sunday that we have appointed for our in-gathering stewardship Sunday. The Holy Spirit is alive and well at Holy Cross. So don't lose sight of the stewardship message in this passage. We should be good stewards of all the things and the talents that God has given us. However, I want to emphasize the more important mission that we have. Our community of faith is strong and vibrant and ready to lend joy to those who don't have it. We can, in very concrete ways, mirror that loving image of God through ministry and outreach and a sense of belonging to those who feel lost and alone. Consider your investment, your passion about that mission, and your willingness to take a risk for Christ. When we give our hearts away, love only grows within us. So as we approach this in-gathering time of our talents and time and resources, I hope you'll take some time to reflect upon the grace upon grace that we have been offered in our lifetimes. God so wants us to understand love that love comes in the flesh to mirror God's goodness. God's love is made manifest in our flesh, and we mirror God's goodness to others. We're accountable to God for how we spend our days and what we do during our lives. We can live in fear, or we can open our lives to let love flow through us to others. Our greatest risk is to play it safe, to never care deeply or profoundly enough that we don't give our hearts away. Amen.